Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Councillor Shane O'Callaghan, you're also a practicing barrister in the courts. So explain the basis for this motion. What is the motion first and the basis for it?
Well, just before we start, PJ, I would like to take the opportunity to express my deepest sympathy to Aisling Murphy and her family and her friends. I can only imagine what they must be going through after such a horrific, heartbreaking, you know, senseless thing happened to, you know, a young woman with her whole life ahead of her. I mean, what happened is every family's worst nightmare, PJ.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'm sure you would agree. And look, as well, I'd also, I mean, like, to be fair, I'd also like to acknowledge that the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, has already been extremely proactive in the area of gender-based violence. I mean, I think, in fairness to Minister McEntee, tackling the issue of violence and sexual violence against women has been, I think, her number one priority since she became Minister for Justice. Look, she's established specialised Garda units to deal with such crimes in every division in the country and has provided millions of extra funding to support victims of domestic and sexual violence and extra Garda resources. And she's also, as we've probably become aware in the last few days, working on a national strategy on gender based on sexual violence. So I mean, I think that should be acknowledged.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I suppose where I'm coming from is with my motion. And look, and I agree. I mean, it's being spoken about that the national strategy, you know, I mean, will involve a lot of changes in terms of education and a change in attitude and a change in culture. And I entirely agree that is very much needed. But I think that, you know, prevention and deterrence should also be a major part of that strategy. And I think that that Aisling Murphy's murder, I think, is clearly a watershed moment because of the level of shock and grief all across this country.
You've described it as a Veronica Guerin moment. Put that into context for younger listeners, because that goes back to 1996.
Yeah, I think it is a Veronica Guerin moment because, I mean, so I was going to remember back then, like, Veronica Guerin's shocking murder at the time led successive Irish governments to taking strong measures against organised crime and drug gangs by, you know, such things as establishing the Criminal Assets Bureau and introducing minimum sentencing for drugs and firearms offences. And so in that regard, what my motion is proposing is that the government should consider introducing legislation which would provide minimum sentencing for offences involving violence and sexual violence against women, including murder, and which would also consider increasing the maximum sentence for assault causing harm from 5 years to 10 years. And just to put it in context, PJ, under the current legislation, if a person is convicted of being in possession of €13,000 or more worth of illegal drugs, they are subject to a minimum sentence of 10 years imprisonment. Now, as you know, like, that 10-year minimum can and often is departed from by a sentencing judge, you know, and particularly in circumstances where the convicted person pleaded guilty or cooperated with Gardaí or things like that. So, I mean, I think actually in the majority of cases...
But at least it's there on the statute book.
But it's there, and the starting point is the 10-year minimum. And it's the same with regard to various possession of firearms offences. You know, some of them are 10-year minimum, some of them are 5-year minimum. But my point, PJ, is that there's no minimum sentencing for the kinds of violent offences which are usually committed against women. And for instance, if we look at the offences of rape and aggravated sexual assault, I mean, look, we all know what rape is. But aggravated sexual assault is, if I could just read the definition, it's a sexual assault that involves serious violence or the threat of serious violence, or is such as to cause injury, humiliation or degradation of a grave nature to the person assaulted. So that's obviously seriously, clearly an extremely serious offence. And both rape and aggravated sexual assault are subject to a maximum sentence of life imprisonment. But, you know, in reality, PJ...
Never happens.
Extremely rare for that to happen. It hardly ever happens. And I think the vast majority of sentences for rape, for example, I would say would be between 4 and 12 years.
Yeah.
But the point is, there's currently no minimum sentence.
Yeah.
For rape or aggravated sexual assault in a way like there is with, possession of drugs in excess of €13,000 or you know, possession of firearm with intent to endanger life, things like that.
And Shane, in your experience in the courts, listening to judges handing down sentence, are judges hampered by the lack of a minimum, do you think, sometimes?
Well, I suppose different judges would probably take different attitudes in that regard. I suppose some judges might see a minimum sentence as, I suppose, taking away from their discretion to a certain extent. But yeah, I in some cases, I suppose maybe a judge's inclination may be to impose a sentence, but they're conscious that if the sentence is seen as too strong or too long in duration, that they could be appealed to the Court of Appeal and the sentence reduced there. So I mean, it kind of works both ways. It depends on, I suppose, the judge. Judge dealing with the matter, but certainly in terms of longer sentences, the judiciary, I suppose, would be conscious that if they impose too long a sentence and where there's no minimum, that they could be subject to appeal.
Because sometimes, as you know, we're here of a morning reading the newspapers or interviewing someone about a sentence, and you're thinking, how on earth, you know? But again, the judge comes to a sentence after a lot of consideration.
Yes, I mean, and there's various matters that a judge, you know, is obligated to take into consideration, and rightly so. And I mean, one of them, for instance, would be a guilty plea, an early guilty plea. I mean, and that is very important, and that should be taken into consideration as a mitigating factor, because, it saves the court and the state a lot of time and expense where someone pleads guilty as opposed to contesting a matter. I mean, it saves the victim if it's a violent crime or something like that from the necessity of having to give evidence.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, factors like that should be taken into consideration. I mean, lack of previous convictions is another one, potential mitigating factor. Efforts at rehabilitation by the person involved. So these are factors that a judge, you know, has to take into consideration. And that is right that they should do that.
There's a perception, I think, and it is that. I don't know how fact-based it is, but there's a perception that our sentencing in Ireland is a lot more lenient than, say, sentencing in the UK.
Well, I think it would seem like it's a lot more lenient than the UK, but I mean, actually, if you drill down, the UK, if the person in the UK, if they're sentenced to something, we'll say if they're sentenced to 20 years, they end up doing 10 years because they're entitled to half, 50% remission. So they only end up doing half their sentence, whereas that's not the case here. It's a quarter remission, so you end up doing three quarters of your sentence.
Yeah. So if you get 10 years, you do 7.5. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas in England, if you get 10 years, or in the UK, if you do 10 years, you get five. You do five. So it's so that's, I suppose, that is. I mean, certainly there. You know, I mean, compared to the likes of America, I mean, yes, we would be much less lighter in terms of sentences in this country. But America, I would suggest, is very much the other extreme. And they put people, you know, in prison for life for very, very relatively minor offences there, which is not the way to do it either. I suppose the point I'm making really is that, there's minimum sentences there for possession of firearms. There's in certain circumstances, there is for possession of drugs over a certain amount, but there isn't minimum sentencing there, which is, in my view, is certainly a deterrent when it comes to violent crimes against, which are mainly perpetrated against women, as I say, the likes of rape and aggravated sexual assault. If there was minimum sentence of 10 years imprisonment for offences such as those, I think that it could potentially make a major difference in terms of prevention and deterrence. Like, as matters stand, a person convicted of murder is automatically sentenced. It's a mandatory sentence of life imprisonment. But after 12 years of that imprisonment, the convicted person is entitled to apply to be released on license. Okay. And the average sentence served by a person sentenced to life imprisonment in this country is actually 18 years. But there is another, so that's just for, we'd say, a normal murder. Okay. But there's also an offence called, it's colloquially called as murder under Section 3. It's murder under Section 3 of the Criminal Justice Act.
We used to call it capital murder one time, didn't we?
It replaced capital murder. And basically, it relates to the murder of a Garda in the course of duty, the murder of a prison officer in the course of duty, and you know, other murders, we'll say, committed by, you know, unlawful organisations, things like that in certain circumstances. You know, that was, you know, paramilitary issues at the time. And a person convicted of murder under Section 3 is obviously sentenced to life imprisonment, like ordinary murder. But the court, when passing sentence, must specify, they don't have a choice, they must specify a minimum period of at least 40 years imprisonment.
Right.
So it's life, but minimum to be served of 40 years. And that cannot be departed from, like, the 10-year minimum.
And that's there on the book. And are you suggesting, Shane, that we should have something like that for maybe the kind of awful fate that befell Aisling Murphy last week?
Well, I think that, you know, the government, in my view, should consider introducing a similar type of offence for, not necessarily all murders, but we'll say maybe perhaps murders where it's proven that there was a very large amount of premeditation or planning involved. For instance, where it's proven that, we'll say, the murderer stalked the victim beforehand, or, you know, murders in which it is proven that, you know, the victim was raped or sexually assaulted or falsely imprisoned, you know, beforehand. And look, perhaps even the government could even look at providing a minimum sentence of 40 years imprisonment for the murder of a woman or a child in any and all circumstances. I mean, I'm not suggesting in any specific course of action there, but I think
where you're going with it, Shane, is if the government wants to do it, there's nothing to stop them doing it in legislation.
No, there isn't. I do work in the area, but I'm by no means an expert in the area, and I've no doubt that there are experts who in the area who would disagree with me, and I'm sure that there are reasons, you know, as to why they would say such a course of action is inadvisable. But I mean, I think that certainly that is something that that the government should consider as part of their new strategy on gender and sexual violence.
If there was one thing that you would believe as a practicing barrister, and I guess as a decent human being, should be in that strategy when it comes out, what would it be?
I do believe that a major part of it has to be in terms of education and in terms of changing attitudes and in terms of changing a culture around you know, how women are treated in their day-to-day lives and the attitudes involved in that. So I do entirely accept that should be part of it. But as I say, I also think, and look, you know, this may well already be part of the strategy, what I'm proposing. We don't know what the strategy is yet. But I mean, I do also think that the strategy and the government and Minister McEntee in particular in introducing the strategy should look seriously at the issues of prevention and deterrence. And I think that a major way of doing that, in addition to providing extra Garda resources to investigate such crimes, which, in fairness to Minister McEntee, she has already done and as I say, has provided extra funding to NGOs and to victim support groups. But another part, I think, is that should be looked at is the issue of minimum sentencing for you know, certain types of murder, you know, and offences that are committed primarily against women, as I say, aggravated sexual assault, rape, and human trafficking is another one. You know, that's again, maximum sentence is a matter stand of life imprisonment. But I mean, I think they should consider minimum sentence for that as well. I mean, that's basically human slavery, where people are trafficked, you know, forced in, you know, and often threatened and intimidated into working in, you know, prostitution or in other areas. And I mean, that's horrific, you know, for something to happen to any person.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I think that those are things that, you know, I think it is time. I mean, the government has been speaking over the last number of days about a zero tolerance approach to violence against women, and it's something I completely agree with. And I think, as I say, it's something that has been championed by Minister McEntee and has been her number one priority since taking office. But I mean, I think that part of that zero tolerance approach should consider the issue of minimum sentencing in the areas I've outlined.
Shane, thank you for being with us today. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, PJ.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.